Sean Patrick Maloney, let's talk about Zika and opioids. You know, these are two very pretty scary things. Everybody's yelling about how bad the situation is with the opioids. The Zika is moving north at an alarming rate. What do you make of all of this?
Well, they're both serious issues. With respect to Zika, you're right that it's moving north. We have a number of cases now in the Hudson Valley. They're all travel related, so that's good as far as it goes. We don't have the mosquitoes yet here, as far as we know, that directly transfer the virus. But you know, we certainly have seen this in southern Florida, on Puerto Rico now. It's a terrible problem. We have had about 11,000 people in the United States infected with the Zika virus. Hundreds of those are pregnant women, and of course there's very serious consequences to that. And we can get on top of this. We can develop vaccines, but we have to do the research at the federal level. The good news is before we left for the recess, Congress did pass funding to fight the Zika virus, and we have now funded the research through the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health that will start to get on top of this problem. It took too long to do, and there was a fight about it, but they were doing the research using Ebola funding in the interim, which was also a problem because we want to keep researching Ebola, but that's now been corrected as well. So we're making some progress on Zika, but it's a problem we need to continue to monitor. Heroin is one of the biggest problems we face, and opioid abuse is one of the biggest problems we face around the Hudson Valley. I hear about it everywhere I go. We've done about 60 in-person town halls since I got elected to Congress, about another 35 telephone town halls. I hear about it every single time I have one of those conversations with folks. Let me tell you what I'm doing about it. I have legislation that will allow law enforcement to transfer addicts directly to treatment using programs and strategies that have worked really well in places like Gloucester, Massachusetts, and Seattle, Washington, and now in about 100 communities around the country. It's called Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, so LEAD, LEAD. And what that means is that the cop has the discretion to take a heroin addict and put them right into treatment without booking them and arresting them. That saves the taxpayers money, and what it really does is it stops this revolving door of 20, 30, 40, 50 arrests when it doesn't know anything about the underlying addiction. We need to have longer inpatient stays for people in treatment so they really get the type of initial rehab they need. I have another bill that will incentivize drug companies.
Wait. So stop for a second. I'm old. I mean, I'm old. I'm 75. Yeah. I've been around a long time. I watched what happened when Rockefeller tried to put everybody into treatment before the infamous Rockefeller drug laws. That's how old I am. Sometimes they jump out the windows. They go in different places. They, you know, you say we're going to put them into treatment, but, you know, they're addicts and they don't want treatment. They want more drugs. How do you stop that?
Well, what we found is that, well, look, at you know, and there are guys out there who want to, you know, criminalize this, but what we know is that we are over-criminalizing two things in this country in particular. We are over-criminalizing mental health, and we end up taking people who have mental illness and running them through our criminal justice system at a great expense to everybody, and it does almost nothing to address the underlying issue or illness. And we are over-criminalizing addictive behaviors, compulsive addictive behaviors, because we don't know what else to do with addicts either. That's what Rockefeller did with the Rockefeller drug laws. With treatment, what we found in Gloucester, Massachusetts, is that when the police said, if you bring in your heroin and your needles, no questions asked, we'll take you to treatment, 400 people showed up in just the first couple of months. And then people were coming from all over the area, so other departments started to do it. And we can pay for the treatment beds now through the Medicaid expansion under health care reform. So we can scale that up, and we can actually accommodate these folks at no cost to the local communities. But the issue is you're right, is that ultimately, you know addicts need to participate in their own recovery. But what we know is that if you surround them with the right services, if you make the initial rehab stay longer, you improve greatly the odds of a successful outcome, and you need a lot of follow-on services as well, but you need to attack it as a public health problem and as a disease, not as a criminal issue. I mean, look, but again, you give the discretion to the cop, because if this is a violent person or they're engaged in serious crime, you're still going to put them in jail. But you know, there's a whole level of low-level street crime around prostitution and around shoplifting and around petty theft that relates to feeding addictive behaviors, right? And so what we have found in communities that do this is you actually eliminate that low-level crime as well, and these people aren't on the street. And so the addicts, if properly supported in the initial part of this, you get better outcomes. But I can't guarantee you that addicts are gonna agree to this. What we know is that this is often a process that you got to kind of stay at it and stay at it and stay at it. But it works better, and you get more good outcomes this way at less cost to the taxpayer. And that's the approach I've been championing at the federal level, and I have legislation that'll scale it up nationally and provide federal grants and really get it going because we've seen it work.
Sean Patrick Maloney, I want to ask you something else. Andrew Cuomo, and I feel badly for him, I do. I have to be honest with you. He's been let down by people who are around him. If you believe him and you believe he didn't know anything about their ripping off the system and public corruption when he ran, he said he was going to end corruption. Corruption in America, like corruption anywhere, is just not good. So my question to you is, what do you make of this whole state government thing where the Cuomo administration was from the very top people was riddled with the malfeasance?
Yeah, well, I think what you saw is you saw that Joe Percoco was indicted. To say it's riddled, I think, maybe is a little bit of an overstatement. I mean, I think one person on the governor's staff has been indicted and
Wait. Let me give you a hard time about that. Todd Howe has already pled guilty. And he's pled guilty.
But he wasn't a member of the administration, right?
He was a close advisor.
No, he's a lobbyist, and he's working with the same guy in the administration who got indicted. Look, throw the book at him. I mean, no argument for me. I mean, let me be clear. I mean, and I think Andrew Cuomo would be the first to say that, you know, he has zero tolerance for this. I certainly have zero tolerance for this. I think it makes the rest of us who are working hard and doing the right things in public service have to deal with the perception that we're all crooks, and it makes you want to, you know, it makes you want to scream because there's a lot of good people trying to do the right thing in public service. I'm one of them. I don't think there's any reason this rolls up to the governor. Lord knows. I've worked in, you know, around a couple of governors in New York. I know what that office looks like. It's not possible for the governor to know everything that's going on. And so that's where it is. I think what I know is that the governor has been a really good partner to me in getting things done here in the Hudson Valley. I mean, if you want to know why the residents of Newburgh have clean drinking water right now, it's because Andrew Cuomo worked with me to immediately get it onto that city, onto the New York City Aqueduct, and to pay for it at the state level. Ditto the fight against PCBs in the Hudson River. I mean, Andrew Cuomo is the guy who got the Department of Environmental Conservation working with me and Scenic Hudson and a bunch of other groups to demand that the EPA hold GE accountable and get the dredging going and all the PCBs out of the river. And that's before you talk about things like, you know, the infrastructure investments in the Tappan Zee Bridge and marriage equality in New York. I mean, the governor's done a lot of good things and has helped me get things done here in the Hudson Valley. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Let me say that when we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about your fight over rail safety, and I know this is very important to you, and some other things, including clean drinking water, okay?
Great, thanks.